You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. And, of course, brought to you by Coaching Four Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you, as always. And looking at last weekend, of course, there's a very loaded slate, a lot to unpack when it comes to the Auburn-Arkansas game. Yeah, it was absolutely pretty rough. Well, we'll touch on this right away. Coming straight out of the gate, because it's the elephant in the room, turnovers.
And absolutely.
This isn't your first time.
It was a carbon copy of the Cal game. Four interceptions and a fumble. You turn the ball over five times. I don't care who your competition is. You give them a short field.
Right.
You shorten your possession time. And you give the offense, their offense, the opportunity to make bigger plays, because now they're taking advantage of the change in momentum, and it's just so hard to come back from that.
Yeah.
And it's demoralizing to your offense, because especially on a couple of those drives, because we were driving. The fumble, we were driving for a touchdown and fumbled the ball into the end zone, recovered for a touchback. I mean, that's a 14-point flip
right
there. At a minimum, it's going to be a 10-point flip, because even if one of the squads gets a field goal out of the matter, you just cannot do that. You can't do that and win football games.
No, you're absolutely right. Because, as you said, I mean, turnovers, you don't have to be a football fanatic to know why a turnover is detrimental. First of all, especially if it is a long drive that ends up in one when you could score. Not only that, but yeah, it gives the opponent all the more opportunities to take a lead and control the flow of the game. And it sucks if you do that twice. When you do it five times and it's your second game in 3 weeks that's happened, it's an issue of Auburn not being able to get out of their own way. And when you look at the teams that they've lost to, there's no reason Auburn can't be unbeaten right now, especially after Cal just lost to Florida State, a winless FSU team, only put up 9 points. It didn't even score a touchdown against the Seminoles. That team was clearly beatable. Arkansas, their best game was their loss to Oklahoma State, and they struggled with UAB. It's like these are beatable teams. But, yeah, when Hank Brown, we've got his stats here. He threw 7 for 13, obviously no touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He had a QBR of 9.5. And then Peyton Thorne came in. He had his moments. He broke 200 yards, and he threw for both of y'all's touchdowns, but he still had a pick of his own. And you were talking about how detrimental turnovers are in these situations. And that's very evident by the fact that Arkansas didn't even play that great. They had 100 less total yards. I mean, what's happening here?
Yeah, you give them a short field.
Right.
Put our defense back on the field. They're already winded. Now they've got to go defend again. Give them a shorter. Three of those turnovers were on our side of the 50, so they've got less than 50 yards to go for a score. But the defense did step up and kept them from scoring on quite a few of those drives.
Yeah, I look at the Hogs and how they played. They, of course, when you have three extra turnovers than they did, because they threw a couple picks of their own. When you have, you know, such an edge with three less turnovers, obviously the time of possession is going to be dominated in Arkansas's favor. They had the ball for 36.5 minutes to Auburn's 23.5, and they had more first downs, and they had less penalty yardage as well.
We've got to clean up the penalties, especially defensive penalties. We didn't have that many on the offense, but now we've suffered an injury in the defense too.
Yeah,
Champ breaking his leg. It was kind of difficult to watch. It wasn't one of those pretty injuries. It was pretty gruesome. Like you said before we went on the air, the coaching staff and the training staff for Arkansas were the closest to it,
right?
And reacted immediately, and you could tell by their reaction they knew this was something that was not good. We just got to clean up the mistakes.
Yeah.
And we don't have the weather to blame for this one like we did with Cal where it rained. It wasn't an issue with a wet ball.
It was a nice day.
It was more of an issue with execution.
Right.
Hank Brown just came out and he just didn't execute. He did not see his reads. He didn't he looked very disconnected from the very beginning.
Well, and you know, you and I were talking about. We'll get more on the Hank or the Champ Anthony thing in a moment. Because I did want to touch on that. But I wanted to say this about the quarterback situation between Hank Brown and Peyton Thorne. We were trying to pinpoint who the starter would be this upcoming week, and I don't know if we found any confirmation on that. I will say you and I kind of figured it would maybe be Peyton Thorne, because when you look at both of these guys, we had talked about last week. Hey, Peyton, we hear about him looking better during practice and stuff like that, and it's just his execution. Well, now Hank Brown has an execution problem. So if one of them's looking better on paper and looking better during practice, whatever, and they both got risks of multiple turnovers, then why not try Peyton? Why not just go back to him and see what works, especially considering that he did bust his hump to try to pull y'all out of this hole?
Yeah, go back to square one.
Yeah.
Peyton looked the part of the starting quarterback all through practice, through spring ball, through summer. He obviously started the season as the starting quarterback. The only game that he wasn't the starter in was Arkansas, and that was because the coach felt like they needed to make a change. Well, I say that against he was named the starter two games ago, and
yeah.
He was the starter in the Arkansas game. Came out of the blocks in the Arkansas game looking shaky. Just you got to go back to what you know most likely is going to work. It's very frustrating, though, because you see the same thing happen with both of those quarterbacks, and under almost identical conditions, you're playing a team that you probably should beat, but is of a Power 5 conference.
Yeah.
And you did not execute the game plan and started turning the ball over.
Right.
That's just not gonna cut it. I mean, you're going to end up losing your starting job no matter who you are.
Right. Well, no, you're absolutely correct. And as far as the Champ Anthony situation goes, you hinted at that just a moment ago. Yeah, not trying to say that the opposing medical staff doesn't care, but typically when your opponent has an injury and they're just kind of laying down, shaking up on the field, you know, whatever, you just let their staff tend to that. When you see Arkansas staff come out, surround him, Sam Pittman, Arkansas head coach, standing there looking over him and everything, someone had a towel, tried to cover what we saw, and then you even heard the commentators were kind of shaken up. And it was very, very similar, and hopefully it wasn't this bad because we didn't really see the injury up close. Hopefully it wasn't this severe, but the reaction seemed similar to Kevin Ware, who was a Louisville player about a decade ago. Had himself an injury, and it was very gruesome on the basketball court against Duke. And you had the other team that was concerned. You had the commentators that were shaken up. It looked like one of those situations. And, of course, you know, he seemed to be in good spirits, getting carted off the field. We heard surgery went well and that he was in good spirits from Hugh Freeze. Now we're just looking at this as like a, man, this is a pretty big defensive loss for Auburn, because we talked about he's been kind of a rising star on the defense when it comes to tackle count and passes defended.
Absolutely. They've been rotating multiple players in and out of those positions to try to find a solution
right.
That works, a combination of them that will work. He was a part of that. Well, now that you take that part out of the equation, now you've got to go to a true freshman. And they're going to – they'll figure it out. I don't think the defensive backfield is the genesis of most of the problems that Auburn's facing. Almost all the problems Auburn is facing right now are offensively.
For sure.
Just execution, mistakes, and the defense is bailing them out.
Yeah.
I mean, you turn the ball over five times to a Cal, and you turn the ball over five times to an Arkansas, and you still hold them to less than 30 points. That's a defensive effort. And even the coach acknowledged that in his press conference. He said the defense played
phenomenal.
They played out of their shoes to keep this game from getting out of hand.
Yeah. Arkansas scored, 24 points on Tigers this last weekend. And that is the most that y'all, as you said, that's the most you've given up in a game. When you've got five turnovers and you only give up 24, or as you said, against Cal, five and you only gave up 21, there's a lot of potential here. I thought that, y'all looked better than I expected against New Mexico's offense. And I know they're a smaller school, but they're still an offensive-minded team. That's been blatantly clear when they're dropping almost 40 on Arizona. It's like that's a good team. So for you to hold their offense to not even 20, there's a lot of potential with your defense there. And I don't think, you know, some of these injuries have ruined that for y'all, but it's certainly, defensive-minded. And, man, the performance of the defense just puts all the more pressure on the offense to stop putting them in poor positions and stop costing the game.
Well, we'll see how it turns out this week against Oklahoma. I expect, and I even said the same thing coming into last week's game that with Hank Brown, that they were probably going to try to simplify the game a little bit, slow it down, make the reads a little more simple, keep the play calling a little more simple so it's easier to manage, but it just did not work out. The first interception, you could see that the effect that it had on Hank Brown, and when he came back out on the field, it was just like he just could not shake that. And then when Peyton Thorne came in the second half, he actually played pretty well. He looked a lot better than he did in the Cal game, for sure.
Right.
His decision-making was better. He hit a couple of deep balls that were well thrown.
Yep. As we said, through both of y'all's touchdown passes.
If it wasn't for our running game being able to keep us in the game score-wise offensively, I don't know what Auburn's offense would look like, but our running game is solid.
Yes, the running game really looked good against New Mexico, and it is. It's a very deep rushing game because y'all have had two guys. You've had if I'm not saying his name wrong, is it Marquez Hunter or Jarquez Hunter?
Jarquez Hunter.
Jarquez Hunter. Forgive me. Jarquez Hunter and Damari Austin. Especially with them two, very heavy backfield there.
Yeah, we have Jeremiah Cobb as well. He's coming along fine. The more carries he gets, the more confidence he builds
right.
in himself. And his ability to play within Auburn's offense, his yards per carry is still over five, even though he hasn't carried the ball that much. Mm. So that's very promising. I mean, any running back that has a yards per carry at 5 yards or better is doing very well.
If you're getting half the distance to the line to gain consistently, yeah, that's not bad at all. You had mentioned Oklahoma, and we'll touch more on them and how they looked last week. In our next segment. But, yeah, I think Oklahoma, we'll just say this, just kind of as a preamble. Oklahoma is definitely a beatable team, especially with them coming to Auburn. And if Auburn, as I said, if they can get out of their own way with the turnovers, I honestly think there's a real chance they win this. And that's with the loss to Cal and Arkansas. It's not a knock on Oklahoma. They just haven't looked that hot this year. You said the spread was Oklahoma minus 2.5, correct?
That is correct. Oklahoma minus 2.5, and the over and under is 45.5.
Mm.
It's kind of disappointing to be an underdog in your own stadium, but it is what it is. Going back to that Jeremiah Cobb, his yard average is over five. It's almost 5.5.
Wow.
Austin and Hunter are both over 7, so we're relying a lot on that running game. But back to the Oklahoma thing, they are having their own quarterback issues as well.
They are.
So that could play, and as well as our defenses play, and that could be the linchpin to make this game be a turnaround for us. And I'm really hoping we can turn it around offensively this week.
Yeah, that's going to be the talk of the town for sure, and I'm sure that's going to be a recurring theme as we get through this Thursday. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse. We'll be right back. When we return, though, we'll touch more on this Oklahoma-Auburn game, looking at how Oklahoma performed against Tennessee. It wasn't great, and I think that's obviously a saving grace for an Auburn team just trying to figure out its offensive identity. We got details on that and more coming up.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. Trust your vehicle to the best auto service center in Pensacola, Bobby Likas Auto Service. For years, you've relied on Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway for maintenance and repairs, and now you have a choice. Keep taking your vehicle to the Davis Highway Shop or go to their new location on Pensacola Boulevard, 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you I could help you reach your audience while they are at a sporting event? Hi, I'm Lexi with ADX Digital, and I can help you connect with your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with me today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
My grades were bad. I would, like, get D's and C's.
I appeared to be doing good at my school life, but if you would see me at home, it would have been a completely different story.
I mean, it was just rough focusing on school when your mother is somebody you have to take care of.
It got worse and worse and worse throughout the years.
There are students who need somebody.
They can trust someone, and it could be the first person they've ever trusted in their life.
Communities and Schools is lowering America's dropout rate by helping more than 1.3 million kids every year get whatever they need to succeed in school.
If something was going on at home, we would go just stop by Miss Liberty's office and talk to her.
Communities and Schools vouched for me when everyone else had lost hope.
You can help change the picture of education right here in your community and across the nation. Visit communitiesandschools.org.
I hear people say we can't save every kid, but I think that we can.
Health and Hope Clinic provides free health care to the uninsured and the medically underserved in our community. They provide free, primary, preventative, specialty care, dental, and pharmacy assistance with the help of our 330 volunteer doctors, dentists, and nurses. If you or someone you know are looking for medical assistance, please visit healthandhopeclinic.org or call 850-479-4456. Health and Hope Clinic's mission is to provide health and hope to the hurting and underserved.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
Mike Greenberg, weekdays 9 to 11, right before the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, or on the ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, this broadcast is brought to you by Coachin' Four Steakhouse. Austin Price in the studio with you, joined by Bill Clark, as always. And, Bill, when we left off, we were talking about, of course, Auburn. It was a demoralizing defeat, whether it be from Champ Anthony's injury to the turnovers that we saw against Cal that, you know, at this point it's feeling all too familiar. But we're looking at Oklahoma. Oklahoma's number 21 in the country, and it's blue-blooded name, right? However, Oklahoma has been anything but convincing themselves.
Absolutely. They looked very vulnerable at home against Tennessee last week. Tennessee did not bring their A game and still beat them by 10 points.
Right.
So I think if we can put the offensive pieces back together, and put something together where we're not turning the ball over, protecting the ball, and extending the drives a little more.
Right.
I think we have an opportunity to win the game. Still hate being a 2.5-point dog, though.
Well, and, you know, that's just expected because Oklahoma, as we said, they're ranked, you know, and right now Auburn's image is the turnover machine. So, as you said, if Auburn cuts that out, there's no reason they should lose this game. Yeah, the Sooners got completely shut down. I was telling you during the break, it was trending on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and it was welcome to the SEC. And they showed Oklahoma taking some rough hits and they were down 22-3. And this is a team with a Big 12 reputation still. You know, we're all offense, we're no defense. It's like, well, your defense isn't great and your offense sure as heck ain't great. And Tennessee exposed the heck out of you, as you said, on your own field. Now they're coming into Jordan-Hare, and, man, this is such a golden opportunity to kick the Sooners while they're down.
Yeah, they even had Bosworth on their sideline last week.
The Bos, yeah. I think the Sooners are going to be fatigued, personally. And as I said, we don't know what's going on psychologically. They could be physically kind of tested, but also if they're unsuspecting, I mean, because they may be looking at that spread. They may be feeling disrespected that it's only 2.5. They're looking at Auburn's turnover issues. They're probably looking at some of the bigger names that are on their schedule for throughout the season. I think they also got to play. I think they play Ole Miss, Bama, and LSU. I think they play all of them.
Yeah, they play Tennessee Texas as well.
Yeah, that's just in a couple weeks. So Oklahoma, they've got all these names swirling around their and they may play Mizzou. Maybe they don't play LSU. I can't remember. Bottom line is several tough teams. So if they've got all these names swirling around, they may kind of sleep on Auburn. And you've been talking about the Auburn home environment. Obviously, Jordan-Hare, a very tough place to play. But you were talking about this last weekend. They had this striped design, correct?
Yeah, we discussed that last week. I mentioned that if anybody was going to the game, pay attention to the sections that you're in because they were having a stripe out where the
color-coded.
color-coded sections to give a stripe effect.
Right.
On TV, it looked great. It really did. It turned out well. This week is all orange. So they're asking everybody to wear orange.
Wow.
So turn it into a great big orange stadium. But Auburn, even with the problems that we're having with this football season, Auburn fans still show up. And we always participate. We look forward to the pageantry. It's just a feeling that if you're an Auburn fan, you know what it is.
Right.
We could be having the worst season, even worse than it is now, and we're all still going to be excited to be there and be around each other, be a part of the program, participate, be loud. That place just explodes when big plays happen.
Right.
It's electric. You can't quantify what that means, and I'm sure it motivates the kids on the field to play harder.
Oh, no, that's absolutely what it's for. And also, you mentioned it's kind of similar, or at least it can be, to Texas A&M's whole 12th man idea. You know, it's like you want the fans to be able to be involved and be able to make an impact. And we mentioned that Jordan-Hare kind of gets overlooked compared to some of these other SEC stadiums, these SEC sceneries.
Well, it definitely makes a difference for Auburn because we play from behind quite often.
Right.
We're very often, even in our really good seasons, our stellar seasons, many of our games we were behind early and had to play catch-up. And that, the ability to come from behind and catch up and get ahead is affected by the crowd.
Yeah.
As much as anything. And Auburn people are just, we're the kind that we're just going to stay there. We'll stay there to the end and root the team on. And if it's not successful, we'll just pick up the pieces and come back next week.
Right. Yeah. There are some teams out there like Miami Hurricanes that kind of get a reputation for, you know, their fans being kind of bandwagonish, fair weather. You know, if the team's doing great, they'll be there. If not, they're not gonna. Auburn definitely doesn't fall into that category. Auburn, as you've said, it's always known as a tough place. It's not like Auburn's been competing for titles these last 5 years, and then they just now are having a bit of a hiccup. This is Jordan Hare's consistently been a brutal environment to visit, and that's with Auburn kind of struggling here. And I think, honestly, there is an incentive for, like, not just Auburn fans, but SEC diehards just overall. I think all of the SEC, and maybe, you know, you being an Auburn fan, maybe you can confirm or deny this, but is there an extra edge when it comes to facing someone like an Oklahoma? They're a big name. They come from a weaker league. They come into the SEC. They got this rank. They're favored over y'all in your house. Does that give an extra spice to it?
Oh, absolutely. All the tailgates are going to start a couple hours early. The fans will be there for Tiger Walk. It'll be crowded. You, if you're not there early, you're not going to get close enough to see much of anything. It's just an electric environment. And then, of course, every home game, if the weather permits, they'll fly the eagle before yep. the game. And that's something to see whether you're an Auburn fan or the opposing fan.
It's a cool tradition.
It is an awesome tradition. It is just – it makes being there even more exciting. And you want to get there early because you want to be able to see all these things and be part of all these things. It's just – especially against a team that's ranked. This is their first year in the conference. They're coming to our house. It's just there's more motivation to be there and be a part of it and lend your voice to that roar that comes up out of Jordan-Hare Stadium when the game starts.
Right.
It's just awesome. I can't put a value on it. It's just invaluable to an Auburn fan.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Oklahoma, they're going to have to stare that in the face, and that's why I think Auburn is all the more, as I said before, all the more eager to make an example because – you know, you've got – because there was social media bickering for such a long time with Texas and Oklahoma. You know, you got people saying, oh, they're not going to make it in this conference. And then you've got – you know, but they're nonetheless big names that the SEC seems pretty eager to include. And with the clout that comes with the Sooner brand, I think there's going to be all the more of an edge for Auburn to go in there. And as I said, kick them while they're down. They're coming off this rough loss, and they're thinking, well, we can beat Auburn. You know, they've got this issue or that issue, or they've got these losses or that losses. They come into Jordan-Hare, and I think you really can uppercut them. I think you could catch them off guard.
I sure hope so. It's just a matter of putting the offensive pieces together.
Well, and what Auburn shouldn't do, and, you know, obviously I don't think the fans are doing this, and I don't think you and I are doing it, but what Auburn shouldn't do is also look past the Sooners, right? Not necessarily in a competitive sense, but just when you look at some a recurring theme we've had on this show is who is upcoming. After this, it's at Georgia, and then it's at and then you got to buy. Then it's at Mizzou. Then it's at Kentucky. So we've got a few ranked teams in a row. We got a few road games in a row. Oklahoma is looking weaker themselves. So if you're looking ahead to that Georgia game, because not only is that pivotal because of how good Georgia is now, but it's a big rivalry as well.
It's the longest-running rivalry in the SEC.
Yeah,
longer than the Auburn-Alabama game.
Isn't it called the Deep South's oldest rivalry?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know that the implications on that, and with it being on the road, and with it being against a top two team, well, at least top two before this weekend. Who knows? They may lose, but you know what I'm saying. Top ranked team, top program right now, going to their house in just a couple weeks. Hopefully, y'all don't overlook Auburn or Oklahoma. I don't think you will. Personally,
I think everything that they're doing that I've been able to glean from all the sources that I have is they're pulling everything back to a simpler, easier way of approaching this game.
Right.
And I think the only thing they're thinking about is this Saturday.
Exactly.
Oklahoma Sooners. Let's put the pieces back together. Let's clean up the mistakes and let's do what we know how to do. And I think it's going to – you're going to see it go more towards the running game this game than it has in the last three or four games, simply because that's the part of the offense that is working. It is clicking.
Yeah.
It's performing. Matter of fact, in some ways it's even outperforming. It's not an offensive line issue. Everybody early on was saying, well, the offensive line's not giving the quarterback enough time to throw. Well, if your running backs are averaging 7 yards a carry, the offensive line's doing what they're supposed to do. They're making the holes. The quarterbacks are not making the correct decisions. And I mean, it's easy for us to sit back and Monday morning quarterback, armchair quarterback, but the honest truth is that's where the problem lies. When they're performing well, and they both of them have proved it.
Right.
Hank Brown proved it against New Mexico, and Peyton Thorne proved it against Alabama A&M. When they are on and making correct decisions, we're capable of scoring a lot of points.
A ton of points, yeah.
We're capable of putting together an offense that looks like what we were expecting coming into the season.
Right.
Just got to clean up those mistakes.
Well, and I think I think you really summed it up well. You know, we can sit here and we can compare opponents and we can look ahead. That's our job. But when it comes to Auburn themselves, yeah, they need to focus on themselves just one game at a time. And hopefully that really shines. Even if they were to lose, you know, God forbid, even if they were to lose this weekend, at least maybe we can see, yeah, as you said, some ball control and just no more carelessness with said ball control. So we'll see how that turns out. And we've got details on that and some of the other games surrounding the SEC and just the nation as we approach this weekend. But we'll get to those after the break. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coaching Four Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coaching Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coaching Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope. From the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020. Or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
One Blood, a national blood donation center, recently experienced a cyber attack that has now affected hospitals across our state. Today, we're calling on all Floridians to consider donating blood to help ensure a strong and healthy blood supply for Florida. The state of Florida is partnering with Life South, Suncoast, and other local blood centers. To find a blood donation center, visit floridadonates.com. This message is sponsored by the Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hey, John, why so glum?
I just got let go. The company's downsizing. This is the third time in the last 2 years. I'm done with this.
Have you thought about My Computer Career? I've heard they can train you for a career in IT in just a few months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI. And you don't need prior training or experience. Now that's a recession-resistant career.
Wow, thanks. I'll check them out.
Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. Mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
There's only one natural ingredient that could instantly shift your mood, help you focus, lower stress, and boost your self-confidence. It's available everywhere, works immediately, is affordable, and can change the quality of your life forever. It's called playing music.
Side effects include restless foot syndrome, spontaneous undulation, and can be highly contagious. If a smile doesn't last for more than 4 hours, consult your nearest music store.
Just play. Your prescription to a better life. Brought to you by the NAMM Foundation.
Paul Feinbaum on weekday afternoons after the Rich Eisen Show. 2 to 6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
He
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. You can also listen on our mobile app, ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, this show is brought to you by Coaching for Steakhouse. Austin Price here in the studio with you, joined by Bill Clark. And, Bill, for starters, thank you for reminding me to turn on my mic. I was about to start talking, and the mics were off. All right. When we left off, we were talking about, of course, Auburn, Oklahoma, and we always give our score predictions towards the end of the hour on that. So we'll kind of, you know, give one last look at that later on. However, first, we've got the SEC pulled up here, and it's a loaded slate for a couple reasons. One, Kentucky and Ole Miss. That's a game where Ole Miss is actually finally playing somebody that's better than Wake Forest. And then we've got teams like you know, Texas A&M and Arkansas, that's a rivalry. We got Texas and Mississippi State. It's a weak game, but it's Texas's conference opener. So we've got several games here. And, of course, there's another one that I have made a point of not mentioning just yet because it's arguably one of the biggest games of the year. So we'll go ahead and get started with breaking these games down with Kentucky and Ole Miss. So we were just talking during the break about this, and you think Kentucky, they didn't look half bad against Georgia a couple weeks ago.
Kentucky has a stout defense.
Right.
And, of course, now you're going against a Lane Kiffin-coached offensive team, which is can score points sometimes at will. So it's going to be a tough game. Mm. With it being a home game for Ole Miss, I'm going to give Ole Miss the edge.
Oh, for sure.
That's a great place to go play if you're not an Ole Miss fan. Their fan base is to me, is very closely resembles Auburn. They're very excited. They get there early. They support their team. The setting is just it's really cool.
Oxford, yeah, it's a tough place.
So it gives them a little bit of a home field advantage. So I'll give them the edge in that game.
Ole Miss is favored by 17.5, but the way you're talking, it sounds like you've got Kentucky covering that.
If the Kentucky defense that played against Georgia shows up, it's not going to be a 17-point game. It might be a 7-point game. Mm. But if Kentucky's defense doesn't show up, that Lane Kiffin offense is going to light it up.
Yeah, it ain't going to take much to pull away. I would love to see a close game there. I'm not as convinced. I've got Ole Miss probably winning that one pretty convincingly. And I think it's going to be, at least by Ole Miss's standard, a statement win as they continue their conference slate. Then we got Arkansas. They travel to College Station. Or, excuse me, no, they don't. They travel to Arlington. It's AT&T Stadium. Take on Texas A&M, an old Southwest Conference rivalry. Now, before we even get into the prediction, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it, Bill. Texas A&M has zero business being ranked. They beat McNeese State, and they beat Florida. They get up to 25th, and then they beat Bowling Green by 6, and they move up to 24. Arkansas is 3-1 with a road win over Auburn, and their only loss is in double OT to a ranked Oklahoma State. What do you got in this one?
Arkansas.
I'm right there with you. No questions asked. A&M's favored by 4. I would just be very surprised if A&M won this game. They've given me no good reason to believe that they're some dog. I just haven't picked up on that. And that's not to praise Arkansas. It's just that I think Arkansas has proven they can beat them. Okay, we'll just kind of glaze over this one because you know, we got to Mississippi State at Texas. What are you thinking?
Texas and they cover.
Yeah, Texas is favored by 37.5. Yeah, I'll say they cover too. All righty, here it is, 6:30 p.m. Man, if there were ever a game that Auburn fans would want both sides to lose, it would be this one. Number 2, Georgia, goes to number 4, Alabama. Georgia is favored by 2. Both teams are coming off byes. What do you got, my man?
Well, my heart is pulling for a tie.
A 0-0 tie, yeah.
Or a 3-3 tie. That would be awesome.
That would be interesting to watch.
I mean, like we discussed in the previous segment, the Auburn-Georgia game is the longest-running rivalry in the conference. And, of course, the in-state rivalry, the Iron Bowl, is something everybody on both sides looks forward to,
right,
regardless of what kind of season you're having. This is a really hard game for an Auburn person to pick.
Right.
With it being at Tuscaloosa, I'm going to give the edge to Alabama.
Well, and that's the thing.
Their home crowd makes a difference.
Well, it absolutely does. And you know, to give give your Crimson neighbors credit where it's due, obviously they're in every game, right? I mean, Alabama could have lost to USF, and they'd be giving Georgia a scare in this matchup. In all honesty,
if Alabama still had Nick Saban, it would probably be about a 10-point game.
Oh, yeah, no, Bama would have the edge for sure. But I want to say I saw a claim. This is the first time since 2007, since Saban's first year, that Alabama was a home dog. So that just in case anybody forgot where the standard is in Tuscaloosa. But I will say Georgia favored by 2. I've got Georgia winning a low-scoring game. The over-under is 48.5. I think it's going to be the under. I don't think either of these offenses have played defenses like this yet.
I think it's going to be under as well. I'm looking at maybe like a 17-14 game.
Wow, really? I didn't go quite that low. I was thinking more like 23-20. But I've got several field goals. I've got, you know, because Alabama, their claim to fame has been the offensive efficiency that they've seen so far this season. And they haven't really played anyone. They went to Wisconsin, and I applaud them for it, but Wisconsin kind of stinks. Then you got Georgia. Man, they had a better win beating Clemson 34-3, and now Clemson's getting touted as one of the best offenses in the country. So that's a testament to Georgia's defensive capabilities, but they've since struggled with Kentucky.
That Kentucky game revealed a lot about both Kentucky and Georgia.
Right.
That they both have very good defenses.
Yeah, Georgia I don't think has given up a touchdown all year yet.
So I see both defenses in this game stepping up and keeping it in the under.
Right.
But I still think Alabama's going to win. The home field advantage is just so hard to overcome in this league.
Yeah, I'm pulling hard for the dogs on that one. And I don't just say that because I'm doing an Auburn show and the consensus would be they're the lesser of two evils. I'm also saying that because one thing that helps me fit in here is that I've never been a Bama guy. Do not like the Tide. So could just be some wishful thinking. Either way, I got Georgia. And then, wow, what an anticlimactic finish here. South Alabama at LSU. LSU's number 14, and they're currently favored by 22. I will say South Alabama has a decent offense. And I'm not just saying that because they scored 87 on Northwestern State. They've had a pretty decent offense this year, period. So what do you think? You think South Alabama has a chance at an upset here? Maybe a shootout?
At Death Valley, not a chance.
Yeah.
It goes right back to what we just talked about, the home field advantage. You go into Death Valley.
That's tough.
Especially an underdog, as deep an underdog as they are. That is so hard to play there. It is so loud.
Hey, I'll be a believer in Death Valley.
That's a night game as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's 6:45 kick.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference to those LSU fans because they'll be partying all day long. They will be ready to rock and roll when that game starts.
I'll be a believer in Death Valley when Bowling Green goes there and gets beat up. Bowling Green has gone to Penn State and Texas A&M, two of the toughest places to play in the country, allegedly, and they've lost by, what, a combined 13 points? Yeah, you know what, LSU? Call up Bowling Green, and we'll see how tough you really are. All right, in all seriousness, just got a few more minutes before we got to go to break again here. These are just some of the bigger games nationally. We got Miami at Va Tech. That's a Friday night game. Miami is 4-0, but 4-0 has seemingly not really been in their favor. You know, they'll start hot and then they'll start to limp their way in, you know, towards the end of the season. They're hosting Va Tech. It's a Big East rival from back in the day on a Friday night. Do you think Va Tech has any chance of pulling off an upset here?
They might have a slight chance of pulling off an upset, but I still see Miami winning. With it being a home game.
Right. Well, and I think they should. I think they'll try to make an example out of them. I got Miami like by around 20 points. The current spread is Miami minus 17.5, so I guess I got them narrowly covering. Number 20, Oklahoma State, goes to number 23, Kansas State. The battle of the exposed Big 12 teams. Oklahoma State just lost at home to Utah, and Kansas State just got marauded by BYU. So now K-State's back home playing a Big 12 rival that's ranked in the top 20.
Kansas State.
I got to say something.
Manhattan, they come out for the game.
Well, and I think this is a matter of, I mean, I'm not saying that this I'm not saying that this is an unfair take, but typically when you have games like this, it's just a matter of a lot of people just go with the home team. I think this is going to be a high-scoring Big 12 game, and I think K-State narrowly wins.
This will be a shootout. This will be – both of the offenses are capable of scoring 30 points.
It says here that the over-under is 54.5. No, I've got it greatly breaking that. I've got this being like a 41-37 sort of ordeal. K-State favored by 5, and we agree with that. We'll take K-State. Number 15, Louisville, at number 16, Notre Dame. Unproven top 20 teams. And Louisville just kind of beat up on Notre Dame last year, but now they're in South Bend. What do you think?
I think Louisville can win this game.
I think so, too. They haven't played anyone. That's their biggest knock, and that's a similar knock against Miami. It's like, okay, these teams look good. They just haven't faced anybody yet.
This will be the coming-out party.
Yeah. I mean, even if Notre Dame, you know, people clown Notre Dame because, oh, they lost to, you know, who
Northern
was it?
Illinois.
Yeah, Northern Illinois. They lost to a MAC school, whatever. It's like, man, that's the Marcus Freeman way. They'll turn around and beat somebody who's worth a hoot. So this may be that moment for them. And if Louisville wins, I do think it means something.
No,
I think it's validated.
Northern Illinois has a history going back as far – I can remember back in the early 2000s.
No, you're right.
Being ranked. I mean, they may only be in the lower end of the rankings, 20 to 25. But they win enough games, and they always win one of those marquee games – almost every year. They're like an East Carolina or Southern Miss. They sneak up on these teams and beat them.
Yeah, because after they beat Notre Dame, it was trending on their social media. They had a wall of like bones that they have, dog bones, and it's like, and it shows their upsets over Power Four opposition. I'm sure you're happy to know that Bama's on that wall. I am embarrassed to say that Wake Forest is on that wall. But they do. They've got the year, they got the logo of the team, and they got the score, and they've got bones. And recently they posted Notre Dame has been added to the equation.
Yeah, they make a big deal about that.
Oh, for sure. And lastly here, this is the last big one, I think. Number 19, Illinois. They travel to number 9, Penn State. Illinois, nobody was looking their way. But now they've got wins over teams that were ranked at the time, Kansas and Nebraska. And that was in Lincoln, I believe.
If I remember correctly, I picked Illinois over Nebraska, and you and I, you and I disagreed on that pick.
Yeah,
Illinois is a much better team than people give them credit for.
I guess so.
And I think that they can go into Penn State and win this game.
Yeah,
is that a night game as well?
It is. It's 6:30, so yeah, Beaver Stadium at night. That's going to be tough. Top 20 matchup here, Penn State. Is looking for a moment to prove, hey, we're worth something, you know, because they, as I said earlier, struggled with Bowling Green and they haven't really played anyone of merit. They opened the season with West Virginia. West Virginia has since been a shocking disappointment. But Penn State is now favored by 18.
I don't know if Illinois, if the same Illinois team that went into Lincoln goes into Penn State.
It's not 18.
They may lose. It may be a 3 to 7 point loss, but
right. They
very well could win that game.
Well, and I'll just I'll mention this just as a one last finishing touch, kind of like an upset alert. Number 3 Ohio State goes to Michigan State. Ohio State has played what? They played Akron, they played Marshall, and who was the last team? Western Michigan. They have not played anyone of status yet. Michigan State already has a conference win over Maryland. They're 3-1, and they host. Do you think they maybe punch Ohio State in the mouth, give them a bit of a sucker punch?
I think they're going to give them a run for their money.
Yeah.
It may not win, but they're going to keep it really, really close.
Wow.
Michigan State has snuck up on both Michigan and Ohio State more than once in their histories.
Right. And they've got a new head coach, so we don't know so much about where their limits lie.
Yeah, this could be the game where they say, all right, we're just going to throw the kitchen sink. Because there's no other reason not to.
That's
you're on
true.
A national stage. You're playing a number 2 ranked team or a number 3 ranked team.
Yep.
Why not just take everything you have in the playbook and throw it all out there?
Well, and if you're an SEC fan, you're rooting for Michigan State here. Because if you look at the top 10, you got Texas is SEC, Georgia's SEC, Bama's SEC, Tennessee SEC, Ole Miss SEC. The only team up there that's not SEC is Ohio State. And with the Big Ten and SEC kind of having a competitive rivalry, a lot of people are probably wanting to see Ohio State trip up a bit.
Oh, there's been many times as an Auburn fan and in around other people that I know that are Alabama fans where SEC fans root hard for Ohio State to lose.
As I said, I'm sure we'll see a lot of them doing so this weekend. Just about 10:50 here. We'll take one last quick break. When we return, just kind of putting the finishing touches on this week's installment of War Eagle Weekly, and we'll give our score predictions on Oklahoma and Auburn. And I'll let you in on a little secret. Bill and I do have some disagreements on our final scores, but it seems like it's going to rely a lot on Oklahoma's quarterback. We got details on that and more coming up after the break. This is War Eagle Weekly on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coachin' Four Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coachin' Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coachin' Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Love and Mood has everything you need to score big with that special someone in your life. From lotions and potions to exotic lingerie and adult novelties, all at affordable prices. Visit Love and Mood Lingerie at 5104 North W Street, two blocks south of Brent Lane, next to Chasers. Store hours are Monday through Thursday, 10 to 8, Friday and Saturday, 10 to 10, and Sunday, 12 to 6. Or shop online at loveandmood.com.
You've got so many chances to win big on Hard Rock Bet. Even a small bet can bring in that serious cash. All you need is a dollar and a dream.
Unbelievable. They've hit the parlay.
Let's go!
Big payouts for every kind of player.
Hard Rock Bet. Roll with us.
Get up to $100 back if your first bet doesn't win. Payable and bonus bet up to $100, not a cash offer. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Please call 1-888-ADMIT-IT.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
Sergeant R.J. Anderson's dream was to take to the skies.
I've always wanted to be a soldier, but my ultimate goal was to be a pilot. I think I was meant to fly. I had just applied to be a part of the 160th SOAR Regiment, and I was going to airborne school that next Monday. So I decided to go on a motorcycle ride with my buddies. We were going through a turn, and that's all I remember. That's the day everything changed. I was told by the doctor that I would never walk again. Thanks to Paralyzed Veterans of America, competing in adaptive sports lit my fire again. They help you transition for the rest of your life to that individual that you want to be. Sports like hand cycling really pushes you to find who you are in that redefining moment after injury. With PVA Sports, I've found my freedom. Now when I think about my future, the possibilities are endless.
For more information, visit PVA.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Are you looking for a place to feed your passion for singing and connect with other young people who love to perform? Then come join us at the Pensacola Children's Chorus. For as little as $15 a month, any child in grades 1 through 12 can come and discover the magic of music. No prior experience is necessary. Whether the stage is your second home or you're a total beginner, there's a place for you in the choir. For details on how to join, visit us online at PensacolaSings.org.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. So whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54, Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
Sunday, an NFL play. The Buffalo Bills rumble with the Baltimore Ravens at 7 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
If You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. And, of course, brought to you by Coach and Forrest Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark here with you. All righty. So, Bill, we hinted at this before we went to break. Giving our final thoughts on Oklahoma and Auburn with a score prediction. Now, just to summarize, Oklahoma, defensively, not great. Offensively, not great. Very flawed team, definitely capable of being beaten on the road. Auburn, if the turnovers are the problem, if you resolve the turnovers, this can be one heck of a game. What do you think?
I think Auburn will come out with a simpler game plan and try to not make the mistakes offensively that we made against Cal and against Arkansas.
Right.
So if that can get cleaned up and play the kind of game like we did against New Mexico, regardless of who the quarterback is, keep the ball on the ground, rely on the ground game to get you your first downs, I think Auburn's very capable of winning the game. I think we will win the game if we do that. It's about cleaning up the mistakes.
Yeah.
Oklahoma has a quarterback issue, much like Auburn. They're rotating two different guys in there, trying to figure out which one fits.
A kindred spirit, right?
Yeah. I don't believe they're turning the ball over like we do.
I don't believe so.
In their bad games, I don't think they're having as many turnovers. I just can't imagine that they did. But if we just don't turn the ball over and keep the possession of the ball offensively, keep it on the ground, I think we're gonna be all right.
Yeah. The tail of the tape is gonna be Auburn's turnovers and their subsequent ball control, but also Oklahoma needing to find an offensive identity of their own. I think if Oklahoma finds that identity, they can beat Auburn. The score that I put down earlier this week was 33-21, but Auburn can definitely hold them to less than that, assuming Oklahoma doesn't establish that QB situation like you mentioned earlier.
Auburn's strength right now is their defense.
Yeah.
I don't see Oklahoma scoring that many points against this defense unless the defense starts making mistakes, and I just don't see that happening. We're too deep. They're able to rotate players in and out. The defensive backfield is a little shallower now with Champ's injury, but I don't really think that changes the complexion of the way the defense plays. Auburn's a 2.5-point dog. The over and under is 45.5. My prediction is Auburn winning 24-17.
Yeah, I think you know, assuming that my score was correct, which I'm feeling less confident about by the minute, then it'll be I have y'all hitting the over, but it could very well be the under because as you said, these are two struggling offenses against, you know, a decent defense and then a darn good lights out defense like what Auburn's got. So this could very well be a lower scoring game. And yeah, I think your defense, as you said, I'm not really scared about y'all's ability to adapt here, even in the secondary, because I think when you have these players coming in and you have these replacements and you have them getting all this experience, you're going to be all the more battle-tested for a team of Oklahoma's caliber. We're not asking you to play Georgia yet. That's next week. But, you know, just this time, one game at a time, that's the mindset that they need to have. You mentioned that earlier. If they do that, man, there's a lot of potential here.
Yeah, our local club years ago had hats made, not only the Shut Up Gary hats, but we also had hats that said run the dang ball.
Right.
And that's what we need to do this week, run the ball.
I think you need to come out and start with that and see if Oklahoma can stop it. And if they can't, then just keep with it.
Absolutely.
We were talking about Nebraska trying to muscle with their running backs back in the day. And, Auburn needs to do the same this weekend. You've been listening to War Eagle Weekly right here on ESPN Pensacola. We'll see you next Thursday.